Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in. The East Abbotville Church of Christ will begin a series of Bible lessons this coming Sunday, June 19th, and will continue through Friday, June 24th. Service times will be 9:30 Sunday morning and 5 Sunday evening, and each weeknight, Monday through Friday, at 7 p.m. Come, bring your Bibles and study with us. If you're completely incapable of attending in person, log on to eastabbotville.org at those times, and you can both see and hear the Bible lessons as they're presented. For our worship to be pleasing to God, we must worship only according to His will in every way. The proper day when Christians should worship God is a subject in which there is a great deal of controversy. Some teach the day of worship is the seventh day, the Sabbath day. We contend that the New Testament plainly teaches that Christians are to worship on the first day, which is referred to in the Scriptures also as the Lord's Day. When we look at the history of when the Sabbath was observed, the first mention that we have of its observance, and of course it's obvious that the Jews were not used to observing the Sabbath, was in Exodus chapter 16. There in that chapter, let's begin our reading with verse 21. So they gathered it, that's referring to manna, they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all of the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today, if you will not find it in the field, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day of the Sabbath there shall be none." Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his house on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. This is the first mention that we have in the Bible of the observance of the Sabbath. And we can see from this reading that truly it was obvious that the Jews were not used to observing the Sabbath. We find that the Sabbath law was given at Mount Sinai, not at the creation, as many people want to have us to believe. It's in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, we read these words in verse 13. "You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant." You see, the law concerning the Sabbath was a law that was given at Mount Sinai, not at the creation. And one other one, while we're on this point, is in the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, Let's begin our reading at verse 10. Therefore I made them go out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes, and showed them my judgments, which, if a man does, he shall live by them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them. You see, it was on Mount Sinai when God was bringing the children of Israel from Egypt to the land of Canaan that God gave unto them the law concerning the observance of the Sabbath. No, it was not in Genesis that many people want to claim that here is where the Sabbath keeping began. No, in Genesis chapter 2, what they refer to is verse 3 when it says, "The Lord and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made." See, that verse just simply tells why, not when, the Sabbath day was chosen for the Sabbath. It was a day that God rested from all of his work of creation. But as far as the keeping of the Sabbath, the observance of the Sabbath, it was not until God led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And we see this when we also look at a passage in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, look at verses 2 and 3. "The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb." Horeb is the same word for Sinai. "The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive." This is Moses before Mount Sinai, where he has led the children of Israel as they have come from their bondage in Egypt. They are now at Mount Sinai, and we see that the Lord God made the covenant with them in this mountain. And the Lord did not make this covenant with their fathers. That's a clear indication that Sabbath observance was only to the children of Israel from the time that God had brought them out of Egypt. Now here at Mount Sinai, he gives them the law, and that law included the observance of the Ten Commandments, which of course included the Sabbath. So we've read verses 2 and 3 in Deuteronomy 5. Let's drop down and look at verse 15. "Remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath." You see, friends, Gentiles have no more reason to observe the Sabbath than the British have to observe the 4th of July. Sabbath observance required regulations in observing it. Many of those regulations people do not even give consideration to today. Exodus 20, verses 9 and 10 says there was to be no work done in observance of the Sabbath. Exodus 16, verse 23 says there was to be no cooking to be done on the Sabbath. In fact, Exodus 35, verse 3 says they were not even to build a fire. They could maintain the fire, but no fire could be built on the Sabbath day. Jeremiah 17 talks about the observance of the Sabbath as it applied to the fact that there were to be no burdens to be bared. Burnt offerings were to be made on every Sabbath, as we can read in Numbers 28, verses 9 and 10. There was to be absolutely no buying and no selling done on the Sabbath day, as Nehemiah 10, verse 31, and also again in Nehemiah 13, verses 15 through 17 shows. These were the things that were done by the children of Israel in the observance of the Sabbath that God gave in command of their observing the Sabbath. And we know from Exodus 31, verse 14, that the Sabbath observance and the failing to observe the Sabbath certainly had its penalty. Exodus 31, verse 14, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone that profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among the people. Preparing the Sabbath was a part of the Old Testament covenant. That covenant was to be done away with. That covenant we find referred to many places as the Law of Moses, as in Nehemiah 8 and verse 1. It was referred to as simply the Law, as Nehemiah 8 and verse 3. It's referred to as the Law of God in Nehemiah 8 and verse 8. In fact, the Ten Commandments were a part of that old covenant, as we read in Exodus 34 and verse 1, as well as in Deuteronomy chapter 4. And yet this Old Testament covenant, including the Ten Commandments, was to be done away with. We see that in a number of passages, but one that we have time and that we will take time to look at is Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So we see then that Jesus, in his death, when he was nailed to the cross, he also brought an end to the Law of Moses. We no longer live under the rules and the regulations of the Law of Moses. We live under the Law of Christ. So we're not under, as Christians, we're not under the Law of Moses. It was fulfilled, and when it was fulfilled, it was taken out of the way. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, that his purpose of coming was. In Matthew 5, verse 17, notice what he says. Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And Jesus fulfilled it. The Law of Moses served a temporary purpose, and that's clearly pointed out in Galatians chapter 3, where there we read in verse 17, and this I say, that the law which was 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hands of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scriptures has confirmed all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So we see then, the law was taken out of the way, and there are many people yet today that still want to bind the Sabbath day, but friends, that law was to the children of Israel, for them to remember that they were in bondage in the land of Egypt, and God gave them rest. Friends, we today as Christians must observe the Lord's Supper, give of our means, worship God, as a assembly of the church upon the first day of the week. That's the command, and that's the examples that we have in our New Testament. We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.